What a gift. What a gift. Like what a blessing it is for us to be able to gather, and to be able to declare to our God, you are so good. It's been a challenge in the last couple years. But our God is good, friends. And our God is faithful. And God hears the prayer of his people. And there is nothing that our God can't do. Amen? Amen. 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 You know, I often get asked, Ashley, how are you doing? And my response is usually, have you ever seen that clip in Rocky Balboa when Rocky's talking to his son? Anybody here ever seen that clip? Let's take a look at it real quick for those of you who haven't seen it. The great theologian.
And not pointing fingers saying you ain't where you want to be because of him or her or anybody. Cowards do that, and that ain't you. You're better than that. I'm always gonna love you no matter what. No matter what happens. You're my son, you're my blood. You're the best thing in my life. But until you start believing in yourself, you ain't gonna have a life. Don't forget to visit your mother.
Yeah, it's not how hard you can hit Sin Network, CNBC. It's how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. We were built for this. There's a lot of greatness in this room. There's a lot of significance in this room. The last 2 years, friends, has not been easy. COVID shut most of our gatherings down. COVID shut most of our community group or small group gatherings down, or prayer group gatherings down. COVID, in our case, shut all our camps down, all our outreach events down, shut down a mission trip to California, shut down a group of about 50 that were going to Israel on an educational trip. It shut a lot down in the last 2 years. And May of 2020, actually 2 years ago, a week from now, my dad died. And then in November 2020, the doctors told me that I had a bicuspid aortic aneurysm, and I was going to have an open heart surgery. So November 2020, COVID, my dad dies, everything else happens. They rip me open, and they repair the bicuspid aortic aneurysm. A couple months of recovery. August 4th, 2021, get my second COVID shot, start running a high fever, start shaking uncontrollably. The valve that they had put in to repair my heart came unhinged. Blood started flowing the wrong way. Blood clots in my heart, blood clots in my leg. My white blood cell count was at, 13 or 14,000. Spent a month in three different hospitals. They had to do a second open heart surgery. I'm laying in the bed. It's August 2021. Doctors are saying, there's not much of a chance that you're going to make it. My wife's there with me. My boys can't be there because you can just have one person with you in the hospital. The last 2 years, friends, have not been easy. But by the grace and the goodness and the mercy and the power of God, I'm here today. It's a gift, Sin Network, to be able to gather. And I just want to say something to you tonight, that God has created you for greatness. There is something great that God wants to do through you. And your church was not planted for survival, okay? Your church was planted for significance. And you might say, Ashley, you don't know my church. And I would say, but I know the God that called you to plant the church that you planted, okay? So you have greatness in you. And God is not finished with me, and God is not finished with you, and friends at the CNBC, God is not finished with us. But how do you dream again? How do you believe again? How do you rebuild again? How do you conform your church or reflect Christ well or lead your churches to reflect Christ well in the midst of all that we've been through in the last 2 years? Let's look at Nehemiah chapter 1 together and see what God had to say to Nehemiah. And I believe so much of it is applicable to us 2,400 years later. Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 1 to 3, here's what it says. It says, the words of Nehemiah, son of Hakaliah, in the month of Kislev, in the 20th year, while I was in the citadel of Susa, Hanani, one of my brothers, came from Judah with some other men, and I questioned them about the Jewish remnant that had survived the exile, and also about Jerusalem. They said to me, those who had survived the exile are back in the province, are in great trouble and great disgrace. And the wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and its gates have been burned with fire. Guys, there has always been trouble. There's always been disgrace. I mean, Jesus in John chapter 16 said what? He said, in this world, friends, you're going to have, go ahead, trouble. But take heart, I've what? I've overcome the world. Amen? Amen? Yeah, so Hananiah, how are things back at home? How are things in Montreal? How are things in Toronto? How are things in the Atlantic provinces? How are things in Victoria? How are things in Calgary and in Edmonton? How are things in Vancouver? God's doing some great things. Yeah, but if I spent some time with each of you, I would say a lot of you have been body slammed in the last 2 years. Well, how do you know? Well, I've been body slammed in the last 2 years, and I've heard some of your stories. We've been through a lot, but praise God, we're still standing. We're still moving forward. We're still here. So how do you dream again? How do you believe again? How do you rebuild again, send that work in the midst of great trouble and in the midst of great challenge? Look at verse 4. When I heard these things, this is Nehemiah speaking. When I heard these things, I sat down and I wept. How do you dream again and believe again and rebuild again and lead your church to reflect Christ well in the midst of trouble and brokenness and people walking out on you? The first thing you do is you sit down. Don't try to make something happen. Because reality is, if something great happens, it's not going to be because of you anyway. It's going to be because the God that called you and the God that you worship and the God that you follow and the God that you serve. So the first thing that Nehemiah did was nothing. He sat down. The first thing that you might need to do when you go back home tonight or tomorrow or the day after that is not something. It might be just to sit down. It might be Psalm 46:10, just to be still and to know that he is God. Look at the second half of verse 4 with me. For some days, he says, for some days I mourned and I fasted and I prayed before the God of heaven. If you want to dream again, if you want to lead your church to believe again, to rebuild again, to reflect Christ well, you need to spend time mourning and fasting and weeping. When's the last time you led your church to fast? When's the last time you led your church to really pray and to really seek the Lord? Guys, if we're going to see something great happen, it's not going to be because of any great strategy. And it's not going to be because of all your education or all your experiences or all my education and all my experiences. It's going to be because God's going to do it. And it's amazing what God does when his people separate themselves from the things of the world and they begin to mourn and they begin to fast and they begin to pray and they begin to really seek after the Lord with all their hearts and network, with everything that they have, with all that they are. And the reason that I'm here on May the 12th is because I believe God wants to do something great in our country. And I believe God's going to use a lot of you to do something great. But it's going to come through prayer. It's going to come through mourning. It's going to come through fasting. I remember years ago when I was in seminary, I had a seminary professor tell me a story about a church in Texas. And he said every Sunday after the sermon, there were a group of men that would go to the altar in this church. And they would put face down on the altar and they would pray and they would weep and they would mourn for their city. And they would mourn for the families in their church and they would mourn for the people in their church. And after the service, the pastor would take his handkerchief and he would go and he would pat down the carpet and he would go and he would put that in a bottle and he'd wring it out. And my seminary professor told me, he said, when that bottle was full of the tears of the leaders in that church, revival broke out. Something happens when we pray. Something happens when we fast. Something happens when our heart is moved. If we're going to dream again, if we're going to believe again, if we're going to rebuild again, if we're going to lead our churches to reflect Christ, well, guys, we need a fast, we need a mourn, we need to pray. Look at verse 5. Then I said, Lord, the God of heaven, the great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and keep his commandments. If we're going to rebuild again, if we're going to reflect Christ well again, we need to lead our churches to focus on who God is. It doesn't need to be about me, and it doesn't need to be about you. It needs to be about the Lord. And our churches need to know that we have a really big God. And our churches need to believe that there is nothing that our God can't do. You remember what the Lord told Jeremiah? Jeremiah chapter 32, 27, he said, I'm the Lord God of all mankind. Is there anything that's too hard for me? Does your church, does your deacons, your elders, your board, your Bible study leaders, your kids ministry leaders, the people maybe that partner with your church, do they believe that you have a really big God? Do they really believe that there is nothing that your God can't do? He said this to Jeremiah. The Lord said this to Jeremiah in Jeremiah 33. This is so familiar to so many of you. But it said this way in the Amplified Version. It says, call to me. Hear these words, Sin Network. Call to me and I will answer you. And I will tell you and I will show you great and mighty things. Things which have been confined and hidden. Things which you do not even know or understand or can distinguish. Some of us might need to stop telling God how big our problems are and start telling our problems how big our God is. If we're going to dream again, if we're going to believe again, if we're going to rebuild again, if we're going to see God do something great across our country, look what he says in verse 6. Let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to the prayer your servant is praying before you day and night for your servants, for the people of Israel. We need to pray with persistence. When's the last time you started talking to Jesus about something in the morning? And then you're still talking to him about it at lunch. And then you're still talking to him about it at dinner. And then you're laying in your bed and you and Jesus are still having that same conversation. It's this sense of you're not giving up. You're going to keep on asking. You're going to keep on praying. You're going to keep on seeking. Jesus said it this way in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 and 8. He said, ask, Sin Network, ask and keep on asking. And it will be given to you. Seek and keep on seeking and you'll find. Knock and keep on knocking and the door will be open to you. For everyone who keeps on asking receives, and he who keeps on seeking finds. And to him who keeps on knocking, the door will be open. Look what he says in the second half of verse 6 and verse 7. I confess the sins we Israelites, including myself and my father's family, have committed against you. We've acted very wickedly toward you. We've not obeyed the commands and the decrees and the laws you gave your servant Moses. Friends, if we're going to believe again and dream again and rebuild again, and if we're going to reflect Christ well and lead our churches to reflect Christ well, we've got to confess our sin. Let me just say that again. We've got to confess our sin. There's things in maybe in your life or in your church that are out of alignment with the heart of God. And we need to get those things back in alignment with God's heart. We need to get those things back in alignment with God's agenda. A few months ago, I was driving our 14-year-old Honda Odyssey that my two older boys drive most of the time, but I was taking it out for a spin, and I was on the highway, and the car just started shaking. Like, what is going on? I know it's 14 years old, but come on. So I pulled in the gas station, and I got one of those tire gauges, and I went to one of the corners, and it was like 20 PSI, and then I went to the other, and it was like 30 PSI. I went to another, and it was 15 PSI. I went to another, and it was like 18 PSI. The car was out of alignment. And when the car's out of alignment, it's not functioning properly. And when you and I are not in alignment with God's heart, and when we're not in alignment with God's mission, things are not going to function the way that they need to function. And if we're going to dream again and believe again and rebuild again, if we're going to lead our churches to reflect Christ well, guys, we got to get our hearts, starts with us as leaders and with our families and then with our churches, we got to get in alignment with God's heart. We got to confess our sin. Look at what he says in verse 8. Remember the instruction you gave your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and obey my commands, then even if your exiled people are at their farthest horizon, I will gather them from there and I will bring them to the place that I've chosen as a dwelling for my name. If we are going to believe again and dream again and rebuild again and reflect Christ well in our churches, we need to remember what God has done in the past. When is the last time you shared with your church what God has done in the past? When is the last time you got together with your deacons or your elders or your board and you just had a session of tracing God's history in your church? When's the last time you got around your dinner table with your wife or with your wife and your kids or maybe with a few friends and you just spent time reminiscing on all that God has done in the past? You see, if you're going to dream again, if God's going to light something up in you, and if you're going to believe again and rebuild again, if you're going to do that, you need to take time to remember how God has worked in your past. August the 23rd, I'm laying in a hospital bed in Jackson, Mississippi. At this point, they're saying you're having a second open heart surgery on August the 25th. And I'm praying, Lord Jesus, like, just work a miracle. Like, I don't want to have another open heart surgery. The doctors are saying, you need to have it, and there's still not much of a chance that you're going to make it through, but you need to have it. And I'm laying in the hospital bed, and I grab my phone, and I send a goodbye video to each of my boys. And then I sent a goodbye video to my wife, knowing that there were some real specific things that I wanted each of them to know personally about how I felt about them. And I have to tell you, at that moment, as I was laying in that bed, I did not have a whole lot of faith. And my mom called me on the phone. And she said this, she said, Ashley, do you remember when you were in sixth grade and God did this? And she said, Ashley, you remember when you were in high school and God did this? And do you remember when you were in university and God showed up and God did this? And then do you remember when you were in Biloxi, Mississippi, and God showed up and God did this? And you remember when your house was destroyed in Hurricane Katrina, and God showed up and God did this and God did this and God did this? And you remember when God called you to Canada in 2013? And do you remember all that God has done? God's not finished with you yet, son. What she did is she reminded me of what God has done in my life. And if you are gonna dream again, friends, if you're gonna believe again, If you're going to rebuild again, you need to create some space to remember what God has done in your life. God has created you for greatness.
Amen.
And God has not allowed you to plant the church or called you to plant the church that you planted for mere survival. You're going to go home, and I pray that you believe that there's significance written all over the church that you're planting. That God will use you to touch your community. That God will use you to touch the elementary schools and the high schools and the playgrounds and the high rises in the neighborhoods, in the nursing homes, in the hospitals. That God will do something significant through you. Guys, there's enough amazing God-loving, Spirit-led, Jesus-focused leaders in this room that we could have a significant impact on our country. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Look at what he says in the second half of verse 10 and verse 11. He says, they are your servants and your people, whom you redeemed by your great strength and your mighty hand. Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of this your servant. And to the prayer of your servants who delight in revering your name, give your servant success by granting him favor in the presence of this man. I was cupbearer to the king. If you're going to dream again, if you're going to believe again, if you're going to rebuild again, if you're going to go back and lead your church to reflect Christ well, if there's going to be significance over your church, you need to ask God for success. You need to ask God for favor. It's okay to ask God for success. It's okay to ask God for favor. Friends, it's okay to ask God for anointing. It's okay to create some space and to get on your knees and to get on your face and say, God, I can't do this, but you can. God, I can't do this, but you've called me. God, this isn't my church. God, this is your church. God, this isn't my mission. It's your mission. It's not my agenda. It's your agenda. God, I can't do it, but you can do it, and you are going to do it through me because there's a call on my life. Yeah. Amen. Amen and amen. You know, a few years ago, I was sitting down with a group of teenagers in our church, and some of them are remarkable. Well, they're all remarkable. But some of them are like, I cannot believe that just came out of your mouth. And I asked a group of them. Matter of fact, my middle son Mitchell's here. He was probably in high school at the time, and it's a blessing to have him traveling with me to Toronto. And so I asked these students, I said, how can you discover God's dream for your life? And lots of them shared lots of different things. But this one young lady, she's actually in grade 12 now. She was probably in grade 9 at the time. She said this, and this was so profound, I'll never forget it. She said, Pastor Ashley, you actually have to believe that God has a dream for your life. And you have to want it. Do you believe that God has a dream for your life? Do you believe that God has a dream for your church? Do you believe that God is not finished with you yet? Do you believe that your greatest days are in front of you? Your greatest days are not behind you. You actually have to believe, and you have to want it. Do you believe? Do you want it? Guys, if we're going to dream again, if we're going to believe again, if we're going to lead our churches to reflect Christ when we go back home to Montreal or PEI or Nova Scotia or Toronto, or you might go home tonight. You're in Toronto right now, right? Or Oakville, or wherever else you are in Ontario. But wherever else you are, if you're going to lead your churches to really believe, to really dream, to really see a movement continue and to move forward, guys, we got to start by sitting down. It doesn't start with us trying to figure things out. It starts with a sitting down. And we have to spend time mourning and fasting and praying. We have to focus on who God is. Our churches need to believe that their pastors have a really big God. And that their pastors have a God that there's nothing that he can't do. You know, I'm grateful that Canvas had that kind of faith. Because when I was laying in that hospital bed, they said, we're going to fast. And we're going to pray. And 24 hours a day, someone in this church will be on their face before God praying for our pastor. Because although the doctors are not giving him much hope, although the medical teams are not giving him much hope, we're believing that God is not finished with him, God is not finished with us, and we're going to stand in the gap in the name of Jesus on his behalf. Our churches need to believe that we have a really big God. If we're going to believe, if we're going to rebuild, if we're going to dream again, we've got to start praying with persistence. Our God needs to hear our voice all throughout the day. And we need to get our hearts in alignment with the heart of God. And we need to remind our churches what God has done. And we need to ask God for success. A couple weeks ago, I was on Keats Island, which is on the Sunshine Coast, at a Christian retreat center called Barnabas. And I'm so thankful for the investment that the CNBC and the Sin Network make so that pastors and their wives can have that time to seek the Lord and to reconnect with one another. And they built this amazing structure. And they had this fireplace that is probably the most beautiful fireplace that I've ever seen in my life. And the fireplace is outside. It's overlooking the Sunshine Coast. There's amazing, beautiful mountains in the background. There's sailboats that are going by. And I said, I'm going to build a fire. So I grabbed like the best firewood I've ever seen in my life. Like they chopped it into these perfect angles and it was super dry. And they had this kindling that was amazing, little strips of kindling. And they had the driest newspaper. So I got the kindling and I started stacking it like a Boy Scout or a Cub Scout. Or I was not really one of those. But I started stacking it. And I'd stack it this way and then this way and this way and this way. And I had the kindling being positioned. And then I grabbed the wood. And I started stacking the wood. And I'm saying, man, this is going to be the most amazing fire. And I am going to watch this fire blaze as I look at the beautiful Sunshine Coast and the blue skies and the sailboats and the crisp wind coming off my skin. And then I put the newspaper underneath the kindling. And then I grabbed the lighter. And I said, man, I have made the most amazing fire that could be made. And then I went to light it. And nothing happened. There was no lighter fluid in the lighter. So I had done all this work. I had gotten the wood ready. I got the kindling ready. I got the newspaper ready. I'm looking at this fireplace, and I'm like, somebody spent hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars on this fireplace that's in one of the most epic views maybe in the world with these amazing Adirac chairs that people sit around in, and they enjoy it. And I'm sitting there, and I can't get the fire started. And God reminded me. He said, Ashley, You can stack the wood, but only the Spirit will light the fire. Ashley, you can get things ready. You can pray with persistence. You can sit down. You can remind people who God is. You can remind people who I am. You can remember the things that I've done in the past. You can ask me for success. You can ask me for favor. You can pray with persistence. You can do all those things. But unless the Spirit sets our hearts on fire, it's just a beautiful fireplace with some incredible firewood. Maybe with an amazing view. And I wonder if before we go home, tonight, tomorrow morning, tomorrow night, Saturday, Sunday, if we need to create some space. And before we even sit down, before we even fast, before we even mourn, before we even begin to remind our church who God is and what God has done, that we would find some space. And we would say, God, we're committed. We're committed to build the fire. We're committed to stack the wood. But God, only your Spirit will light the fire. And it's got to start with someone in our network. It's got to start with someone in your church. It's got to start with someone in your city. It's got to start with someone in your region. And what if tonight we wrap up our time by saying, Holy Spirit, we'll stack the wood, but would you light the fire? And would you start with me? Would you ignite the fire in me? And God, would it spread to the church or the churches that I lead or the churches that we will plant or the leaders that I'm investing in? But God, in this moment, would you pour out your Spirit on us and would you light a fire in us? So God, we pray that. We come before you right now, God. And we know that you love Canada. And I know that you love the pastors in this room. And I know that you love their wives and you love their families. And God, I know that you have created them for greatness. And I know that their churches were not planted for survival, but for significance. And God, I pray, I ask in the name of Jesus that tonight you would light a fire in us. And yeah, the wood might be wet. The wood might not be fresh. But God, there's nothing that you can't do. And for my friends that are thinking about quitting or thinking about giving up or not sure where to start or not sure what to do, God, I pray that tonight, God, that you would meet them, that you would meet us, and that you would light a fire in us. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.